Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, welcome to another edition to the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, we're going to talk about the Stand Your Ground Law. Today, I have the pleasure of having Arthur Hayo. He is over at Coalition for Stand Your Ground, Cost Lives. So we're going to talk to him about that. If you have any questions, you can feel free to pose a question in the chat room, or you can give us a call at 347-324-3460. Arthur, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
I guess to begin with, tell us about yourself and how did you get started?
Well, I and my group have been involved in gun control issues in Florida since 1987. So we've been them all. And we are a small coalition right now. We're not as big as we used to be, but we're still here and working on these issues. And we've been working on the Stand Your Ground law since before it was passed, even before 2005, because we had inklings that something was coming, but we didn't know exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, go ahead.
We knew that the NRA was might introduce legislation which could be termed an anti-prosecutor law or something like that. We anticipated something like that, but we didn't anticipate Stand Your Ground and those statutes that came with it. We got kind of blindsided, but it occurred, and it's been in effect now 7 years. And about the best thing I can say about it, it's turned out to be the mother of all unintended consequences.
Wow. Tell us about when your coalition started, I think 20 years ago. What sparked you guys to come together to talk about those topics?
Well, we got involved in some of the issues right after 1985 when I came back from working overseas. I rejoined the NRA and found out that it had been taken over by the gun rights folks. And things have, the NRA has been strictly a gun rights organization since then, despite what they may say. And this is their law. They wrote it, and it was passed by 91 Republicans. Every Republican senator and state representative voted for it. So it's their law, their problem, and they need to do something about it. But I think we're at the point where the state is going to consider changes in this law.
Okay. And I mean, we talked on the show several times about why this law came to be. You has been an advocate of this particular law. Kind of stand what your position is. Is it warranted to have this law? It needs to be modified, or was it a good intent that went bad?
Well, to begin with, this law has nothing to do with self-defense. It's about license. It was designed to protect gun owners when they use that gun outside the legal parameters of the then self-defense law, which we had prior to 2005. And a lot of gun owners were using that gun or got caught with using that gun outside of that parameter, which is, you know, if you use a gun to defend yourself against an armed criminal, that's perfectly legal. But when you use it against someone to solve a personal dispute, that becomes very illegal. And this was the goal of the NRA, to make settling these personal disputes with a gun legal, and it worked.
Do you think with the law itself, times has really changed, our attitudes are different? You know, when I was growing up, we had BB guns, and now we don't threaten anybody with a BB gun or even a gun. I would say, I can't say because I don't know statistics, but a lot of people did have guns in their home. They did not have one gun. They had like several guns, a whole collection. We were coming out of that cowboy and western days. Then, you know, as times change, a lot of people have less and less guns in their household. You know, some will have rifle in the back of the truck, which we can handle a rifle in the back of the truck. Today, we can't handle a rifle in your back window in the back of your truck. Not only would it get stolen, you know, a possibility of that, it's just the attitudes that something, and maybe I'm not going to say in this generation, will go off and they will just take, you know, it's a weapon of opportunity, they might take it and use it. What happened within the last 20 years that people can't handle this type of, you know, accessible guns, if that makes sense?
Because there's no laws to control them. Florida is a state that has no controls on firearms. Zero. Zip. None. Nada.
And the army system is not good enough.
If you have all these guns out and no ways to control them, you're going to have some problems. And Florida has always been one of six states with the highest rates of violent crime every year, and a lot of it's directly related to guns and no controls.
Hmm.
I mean, so if you want to go up
ahead.
Into Canada, go to Canada. You can buy a handgun. Sure, no problem. But you have to be accountable. You're tied to that gun. You're registered, and when you sell it, it's registered and transferred just like an automobile, so that people can keep track of these guns. But in Florida, that's not the case. In a lot of other states, once you walk out of the gun shop where you bought it, you can sell it to anybody you want, any way you want. And, of course, that's being sooner or later your communities are going to be saturated like ours with illegal handguns that nobody can do anything about.
Why the NRA, I understand it's our constitutional right, but why the NRA is so passionate and trying to push everybody to have a gun? I mean, I understand it's good for business. They make a lot of money off of it. But do we need a high-powered rifle, you know, maybe for hunters, but do we need machine guns and all these other huge, you know, really dangerous weapons on our streets?
No, well, we've always taken the position that military weapons should never have been sold to the public. And that's
okay.
the end of our discussion. We oppose that, but there's no way you can. They're out there now, more and more all the time. You know, we had a law for 10 years. Which banned certain models of assault rifles, but that law expired, and now we're seeing those models back on the street again. It's just a fact that, you know, do you want to live in a state which has no controls on firearms? And in Florida, the state legislature has made that decision. And, you know, lots of people don't agree with that, but that's the way it is. Now that, and in terms of business, you know, there's an old saying that guns and business don't mix. And I can tell you, we worked on that issue in the years past, where the NRA is trying to force business owners to allow guns on their property, to allow their employees to bring their guns to work, which, of course, we're opposed to, but they push very hard on that. The head of the Chamber of Commerce in Florida really got bulldozed over that. The NRA pushed him into accepting guns on and business parking lots. So now you can bring that gun up into the parking lot, but you can't bring it into the door of the business, but that will come next. No, it's just an issue which has gotten bigger and bigger, and maybe, you know, the only thing I'm aware of as far as public opinion is there's a lot of a public opinion that we need to be doing more about guns in this country. We need to be doing more about controlling guns in the property. Of course, the NRA says the problem is there's not a problem, just more guns, and then the problem will go away. You've heard of the famous John Locke book, More Guns, Less Crime. But it simply isn't
okay.
So.
No, I mean, that's not realistic to even think of. Why we have, you know, you have places like Great Britain, who have these particular laws on the books regarding guns. Why we don't have that in America?
Because the NRA is too powerful. We don't have a those countries don't, you know, they have the Magna Carta. They don't have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which has the Second Amendment in it. They don't have to deal with that issue. They can just say, we're going to be fine and be quiet and be careful and be lawful, and we're going to run our country like that. And that's basically what the Magna Carta does say. But here in this country, we've got everything down written in, into laws, so it's easy to circumvent them. But this is a question that's not going to come up in the election. On either side, I doubt very much. We think if Obama is reelected, he may do something with guns in the next term. But it's a very, very difficult issue to work on here in this country. I don't know what states you folks broadcast to, but Florida is the number one gun ownership state.
Oh, I imagine whether it would be Texas.
No, it's not Texas.
Wow.
The reason they love Texas is the former head of the NRA, Marion Hammer, has her organization here, and every gun rights bill starts first in Florida. We had the concealed weapons bill first in Florida. We had Stand Your Ground first in Florida, and we had several others, firearm preemption law first in Florida. Once they pass Florida, then ALEC gets a hold of them, and they spread them on to other states. That's what happened with Stand Your Ground. Florida was the first time, and then 2005-2006, it popped up in, I think, 11 or 12 other states with the activities of ALEC. And, of course, lots of people know about ALEC. They kind of spread these laws around and provide the legislature with briefs on how to get them passed and so on.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about business.
It is.
When talking about Stand Your Ground itself, your position, Stand Your Ground costs lives. Kind of tell us about that statement and how you came up with that.
Well, the Stand Your Ground has nothing to do with self-defense. It's
okay.
It's strictly a bill to about license to expanding. It expands the legal use of firearms. That's basically what it does, beyond what the old self-defense law amounted to. The NRA was concerned because they were limited and they couldn't protect themselves with current law, so they wanted a law which would expand the legal parameters of firearm use, and that's exactly what this law did. The law says, you know, if you feel threatened and you're in a place you have a right to be, you're not doing anything illegal, you can use that gun. And that's what's been happening. We've had about 200 shootings, maybe more than that, since 2005, where the Stand Your Ground law was invoked. And many of them were given immunity because of the Stand Your Ground law. Some haven't gone to trial yet, but the big flare-up was with the shooting in Sanford with Trayvon Martin. Everything was very quiet about Stand Your Ground law until all of a sudden that happened, and then it blew up. Like I've never seen it do that way, and it's become a household news. I've had TV crews from Zurich, Switzerland knock on my door and want to interview me about Stand Your Ground. The idea of Stand Your Ground got around the world. Stand Your Ground is a very loaded term. You know, it says, you know, the NRA says the real man doesn't retreat, he stands his ground. And that's what people are doing. They're standing their ground and they're shooting each other over who has the best barbecue sauce. These shootings are not against or defense against an armed criminal. They're all disputes in the backyard. That's what they all are. We did a study of 100, and we found that's exactly what they were, all disputes of one kind or another, mostly outside of the house, over an argument over a property, over a girl, over who has the best barbecue sauce, or who offended who. But none of them were an encounter with an armed criminal. So this is basically it displays what this law is being used for. It's being used for people who want to settle personal disputes, and it's getting difficult to get immunity anymore if you do that. In the beginning, people were getting immunity all over the place, but now mm-hmm. the judiciary has just really clamped down. And before you can get immunity from this new law, there has to be a judge determine whether you're eligible for that defense before before you go to trial. So the judiciary has really moved in to try to control this law.
Okay, we're going to take a break real quick, and we're going to talk about more about this particular law and your organization. Be back with Arthur in probably 1 minute. Take a station break.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Chicane.
We're back with Standing Your Ground, Cost Lives, topic today with Arthur Hale. He's the Executive Director of the Florida Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. I guess if we go straight into Trayvon Martin case and George Zimmerman.
Well, before we do that, why don't we talk a little bit about guns and business?
Sure, no problem. Go ahead.
We've worked on issues regarding firearms and businesses for years. The NRA has been pushing and pushing and pushing, and mm-hmm. they finally got guns into the parking lots of businesses. They're allowed to take their gun in there. The next thing will be to enter the business itself. We know that's going to happen. In fact, the head of the Florida Chamber of Commerce, Mark Wilson, battled the NRA day and night for a long time trying to get that law defeated, but the NRA rolled right over him. And now the businessman has to accept guns in their parking lot. At this point, they don't have to accept guns in the business itself, but that's coming next. And I think any businessman wants to be concerned about that, because when the NRA forces you to bring guns into your business, what about your liability? What about your right liability that you have to keep your customers safe? What happens to that when people start bringing guns in your business? That doesn't make any sense.
You're absolutely right. But can you post? I think
I know when it starts coming out.
Okay.
But with concealed carry, you don't know who's got a gun anyway when they walk in the door. But, you know, I think it was what company did post their property, and they just got submerged by complaints from NRA members. So they decided not to do it, but yes, you can post your property, no guns, and we recommend people do that.
Well, if you post it, does that protect you if something happens? I mean, if something does happen and you post it and say it's unwarranted now, is it true within certain – of course you can't take it within a state government facility or a
– You can now.
You can now.
Yeah, with the firearm preemption law that was passed in November 2011, the people that passed the law failed to read it, and it allows them to bring a gun right into the Senate and House chambers. Yes, you can bring a gun right into the concealed weapons permit. You can bring that gun right into the Senate and House chambers. And how did they miss that? They must have missed it, because the law allows new firearm preemption law allows you to do that. So, you know, that creates a lot of problems, because the legislature has always had the position that we don't want guns around, it's too dangerous, but we'll pass a law and force them into everyone else's place. But now they've got to put up with these guns in the Senate and House chamber. And what the Senate and House did in Florida, they put a little red button called a panic button on each senator and representative's desk, because of the fact that people now can bring guns into this chamber. How insane is that? And these are the this is the legislation that that passed this law. But the the firearm preemption law and the stand your ground law were passed by 91. The total number of Republican senators and representatives in the state of Florida. It's their thing. They created the problem. So it's you know, they have to find a solution, and their solution was a panic button on every senator's desk.
So it doesn't going to protect you from the shootout.
Right. So the question is, where is our panic button? We're not considered, or anyone else out there. You're not considered. Firearm preemption law prevents you from posting your property, no guns everywhere, and they ran into a problem in mid Florida with that. A lot of very wealthy horse owners with some very expensive horses couldn't keep people from stampeding their horses when they were firing around their stables and stuff. They found out there was nothing they could do about it because of this Florida firearm preemption law. And a lot of very agitated homeowners, and in fact, we worked with some of these who went to the Senator Hayes and said, you know, these guys are out there firing across my place and stampeding my horses. They've already damaged two. So they call the sheriff, and the sheriff says, well, there's nothing we can do because the NRA and the Republican legislature passed this law that says you can't prevent people from coming into your property with guns. So, you know, sooner or later, this is going to be a problem. And I think since the firearm preemption law just recently passed, the next legislative session, which will be in March and April of next year, you're going to hear some legislation about rolling that back, because there are a lot of very angry homeowners that say, you know, one guy said to me, he said, I fought for this country in three wars, and nobody's going to tell me I can't post my property, no guns. That's a violation of not only my state property rights, but my federal property rights. So I think we're going to see that go to court the same way that the pediatricians went to court when the NRA passed a law that a pediatrician couldn't discuss whether the family had a gun in the home, concern about small children. They had to go to federal court, and they went to federal court, and they threw that law out. But you can see what these people are doing. They're at the edges. They're pushing every possible thing, guns and here, guns there, guns everywhere. You know, look at the poor pediatrician. For years, C. Edward Koop used to have a little cassette thing that he published and spread around to doctors about the dangers guns pose to small children in a home. And when I was a detail man for a drug company, we used to go out and present those to doctors. So I think now it's a violation of the law.
Absolutely. We have a caller real quick, and this is going to take his question. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling about the Trevon case.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm just surprised that so much time has gone into talking about property and horses when a teenager was shot.
Yes.
Because of a gun, because of a law that has been pushed and protected by the NRA. We're talking about a teenager. It didn't matter that he was black. He could have been white or Asian or Hispanic. It wouldn't make a difference. The point is, we have a law that is contra people and pro property. It's time to repeal that law.
Well, that's some people have said that, but the problem with getting a law repealed is...
You're talking about horses. Horses,
yes.
Property. I'm talking about a human being, a life, a human being, and all that time has been wasted. You wasted 15 minutes talking about horses. Horses are nothing but property.
I understand.
Yeah, we were talking about property.
This law prevents you from posting your property, no guns.
I understand. I live in Florida. I understand that. But what I'm saying is the law will protect horses and posting property. And it look at how intrusive it is, the NRA is, that they then argue with doctors about discussing whether there's a gun in the home. I didn't know that.
Right.
I learned that.
You didn't
from
know that?
Today. Oh, we're going to put that tooth and nail today. We didn't know that. Until we heard it
they
on
had
your
show. The pediatricians had to go to federal court to get that repealed. You know, they would get no movement from state court. But the Stand Your Ground law is basically the problem there. I was very surprised the way that case blew up so quickly, because we were working on a whole number of cases that were tied into the Stand Your Ground law. And what concerned us is that they're wasting so much time, as you said of me, they're wasting so much time talking about whether there's a race issue here, instead of talking about how can we get Stand Your Ground law amended or repealed.
It's got to be repealed.
Thank you.
It's affecting human
absolutely.
Beings.
Absolutely. Thank you
well,
for calling.
Well, I would like to do
me.
That,
I really
but
appreciate
I think
you're welcome.
I think we're right.
Go ahead.
We're going to see legislation to modify the Stand Your Ground law, but that won't occur until the
current,
next session
next
of the legislature. Right.
Absolutely. That's how
it's going to happen. I know people that are preparing legislation, but you know, a prosecutor asked then Governor Crist for a special session to repeal the Stand Your Ground law. Crist refused. So
yeah.
It really takes a special session to do it, and that's almost impossible to do.
And the expense and so forth. So I'm sure everything is going to be balled down to the end of the year. And I'm sure a lot of states will address this next year. I guess we just get through this 6 months of the rest of this year, go through our general election, and then that sets the tone for next year, hopefully. We'll see what happens.
25 states
but,
have this law now.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to address this particular incident is going to prompt, hey, we have to do something. We don't need guns right. That's going to saw people in half. I mean, it's just really excessive. But then once you let the genie out of the bag, now it's kind of hard to curtail all of these type of, you know, these guns. So we got to make do what we have and modify.
The Stand Your Ground law, it was created a lot of controversy, especially when the press picked up what they thought was a racial aspect to it. There may be, but we don't think anyone did it on a deliberate basis. In other words, we don't think the NRA created a statute that had racial overtones on a deliberate basis. We don't think they did that. It was just a stupid law. They were
after it was a stupid law,
things.
And it's for commerce. I mean, it was all about business to make money. So it was money behind it. They wouldn't do it.
you're in a business program. You ought to know. But business people ought to watch, you know, if they're going to force you to have guns in all parts of your business. I don't think you want that. And I think you need to be talking to your state senator about this.
Do you think that the St. Ground law actually promotes the use of guns?
Well, not really. If you look at the gun sales, right after this Stand Your Ground law passed in 2005, I think we have 100,000 more people with concealed weapons permits. So all 100,000 more people got that permit, and, of course, you have to have a gun. It probably created some gun sales, yes.
And, you know, in hindsight, I'm going to be fair to both sides of this. I'm sure the facts of this case will come out in the course of the year. It's not going to happen in their best interest. It's not going to happen within the course of this year, definitely. It's not going to go to trial
this year.
I'll tell
you the best source of information right now, the Tampa Bay Times, or which used to be called the St. Pete Times, has run a series of articles about the problems with the Stand Your Ground law. And I think anybody who wants to know the details, they can go to the St. Pete Times and Google Stand Your Ground laws, and you can read the great job that the St. Pete Times has done on exposing this issue.
Okay. And I know we're about to go off the air in a few minutes, but we're going to go maybe like a couple minutes over, just trying to finish the topic. in this particular case itself, it will go to trial probably sometime next year. Of course, it's going to be a really, really test of this particular law, and whatever results from it, you know, is going to be what it is. And I'm sure that on the Zimmerman side, with dealing with the law itself, he feels that he's right. He's going to argue this in court, and he has a right to do that under our Constitution.
But the trial is not going to get rid of Stand Your Ground law. That's going to still be
no.
there. Those statutes will still be there, regardless of the outcome of that trial. So that's why we have to concentrate on getting these statutes amended or reversed.
And I'm sure that the course of that, it depends on when this trial happens and what happens at this particular trial. I'm sure if the – well, I'm sure the states will already have met for their fiscal year anyway, and they'll probably be in the midst of it. So I'm sure that the way they're going to time it either is going to be towards the beginning of the year, which would be a year exactly, while they are actually doing their meeting. I'm not sure how your state runs for Florida, but like, for example, Texas usually meets 3 or 4 months of the year, as late as May. And I'm not sure how Florida's legislator, how they meet. Do they meet during the same period of time, beginning of the year until
April and May of each year?
Yeah. So do you think if he is convicted, that's going to change the stance on this particular law for Florida?
No, it won't change anything. Those statutes will still be the law. And
you don't think they're going to try to change the
You need to introduce legislation to change those statutes, and you can do that.
Okay.
But that's not going to have anything to do with the trial. The outcome of the trial isn't going to amend those statutes. You have
Yeah, so they probably introduce something, and depends on what happens, that they're probably going to use that to kind of influence what they're going to do with this particular law.
We will, and we will see changes. I'm absolutely sure of it.
Okay. Well, Arthur, any last words you'd like to say?
Stay safe. Stay away from people that carry guns. And don't anger anybody in this state, or you could be the next victim of this Stand Your Ground law.
Wow. No, one question real quick. How do you like to be remembered 100 years from now?
I'm not sure. That I changed Stand Your Ground law. That'll be good enough.
Well, that's well said. That's a good thing. Appreciate it, Arthur, for coming on the program.
Okay. Anytime.
Okay, great. Thank you. Take care. Again, this has been another production of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. We had online Arthur Hayhoe. He's the executive director of Florida Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. We should have a transcript available, highlights on this show on blog.applecapitalgroup. Everybody, thank you for listening and supporting the program, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.